They got to go back to where nothing's going on. And they've got to go back to, basically, they get something like that once every couple times a year, maybe, when they go to an event like that. But I thank God, when I leave there, I come back here, I'm still excited to get back to my church. Because I want the same God that's moving and has been moving here in these services. Glory to God. And that God's going to do something mighty. Praise the Lord. He's doing it. He's going to do it. And I'm telling you right now that that same Spirit and presence has been in our services. And God's going to continue. We just got to build and grow. Amen. We just got to capitalize on the moment and know that the time is now and let God have His way in our lives. And we can see a move of His presence. Praise the Lord. I thank God for what He's did. Praise the Lord. I don't know. I'm going to have to take some time somewhere and give my voice a break. But it don't seem to be getting there. But God will help us. And I thank Him for what He's doing. I really do. We're just going to go tonight or this afternoon and share some things. Let me just say it's good to be here. Let me say how delighted I am to see Sarah with us tonight. Sarah Cusa. Start to say Sarah Cottle, but well, she is Sarah Cottle Cousa, we'll call her that, all right. We're glad to have her with us today, this morning and this afternoon. I'm so delighted to see you, Sarah, and I just appreciate you being with us here this morning. Her sons, Noah and Levi, I believe, and glad to have them with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to finish up this afternoon on something I've been teaching about. And I'd like to talk about practicing His presence some more, if you will. But I'm going to begin. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 11 because that's where I'm going to begin. You don't have to stand. I'm not going to read it as a text this afternoon. I'm just going to go back and just give you a few things to refresh, bring us to where we are. And then I want to finish up here today on some principles about practicing the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God. I talked to you about it not being imagination. I talk about what it was. Jesus, in His principle by which He lived was, He said, I've kept the Lord ever before me, and He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Our God is an invisible God. His Spirit, He is invisible. I cannot see Him with the naked eye. Now, He was manifest among us. There was a time 2,000 years ago, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He has manifested Himself in various ways throughout Scripture. We can go to the Old Testament. We see Him manifest in a burning bush. The glory of God and the presence of God was there in a bush that was on fire but not burning. We saw Him manifest in the wilderness in a pillar of cloud and fire by day and by night. That was the presence of God. That wasn't something that God just stuck out there as a light bulb to light up the wilderness. That was the glory of God. We saw Him in the temple. The glory of God, the presence of God, and probably somewhat like a fog. But it was so great that the priests could not enter into the temple in order to do their work and their ministry. And we could talk about those Old Testament epiphanies or theophanies, if they would call them, really. They were manifestations of God and His presence among the people. There were times had the Lord appeared as the angel of the Lord among them, the captain of the Lord's host, and would look like that of a man in some pre-incarnate appearance, and He would do that. So there were various manifestations, but in time and place, there came the day that God took on a permanent form. He took on a permanent form that is manifest, and that is none other than in the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Son, He came from heaven, and God was permanently manifest in flesh. But He's still yet invisible to us because He went away and He abides at the right hand of God. But He's coming back again. The Bible said He'll appear the second time. He will appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The Lord is going to be made visible again upon this earth. And when we look towards eternity, we are going to have the throne of God and of the Lamb visible in the city. Jesus Christ visibly ruling and reigning in the new city, Jerusalem, forever and ever and ever and ever. Our God will be physically manifest unto us. But until then,
We, you and I, need to remind ourselves that God is with us. Not that there's not evidence. Not that there's not the sense and the times that His presence is manifest among us. But it's not always manifest among us. There's not always that we can see the evidence there, but the devil wants to distract us from it. The enemy wants to get your mind on other things. And how many things are there to take our minds today? In this generation, how many traps and how many snares and how many distractions? And think about all of the methods that the enemy can enter and have access unto our mind. I mean, you look at this world and you can talk about just the media. You can talk about our television and radio and internet and iPhones and iPads, cell phones. You can talk about smartphones. You can talk about advertisements. You can talk about the storefronts and billboards. And I mean, you just name it. We're bombarded, inundated on every side around us. And there's so much to distract us. The cares of life have become so great upon us. And they seem to pull at us from this direction and that direction. Our schedules have become so full. It seems that life is so busy that there's so much to do. I'm going to tell you, one of the reasons there's so much to do is because sin is abounding, iniquity is abounding, and the need is overwhelming. All around us, the need is overwhelming. Corruption is getting worse and worse. Bodies are failing more and more. Men's minds are failing. Men's hearts are failing. And all around us is need, and you and I are hit from every angle, distraction after distraction after distraction, and we've got to learn to keep our focus where it needs to be kept. Amen. So I'm not going to go back and re-preach all of those things, but I just want you to know, I want to talk again about some principles involved that you and I must practice the presence of God. We must remind ourselves. We must talk to God and know that He is in our presence. And I've given you various things about that, and let me deal with about five more principles to conclude this sermon series. I want you to begin again in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going there. The practice of His presence is an act of faith. It is not a mere mental exercise. It is not something that is imaginary, but it is an act of faith. We see it in this very verse, if you will, for a moment. Hebrews 11 and 1. We can quote this, but and quite frankly, I will be honest with you, I could probably quote that verse from years ago. I've heard preachers preach it, you know. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Great! Explain it. So what's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen? Oh, I could quote that verse over and over. But I'm going to tell you, if you told me to give a message or to explain and expound a little bit on that, I would be going, huh? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I'm going to just try just for a moment to take a little bit of take those words and kind of, and let's just kind of maybe expound them just a little bit and put some other explanatory notes in there so that we can understand, because it brings us back to what this business of faith is all about. Faith is number one, substance. That's what it says. Now faith is the substance. What is this word? Word substance mean? It's the idea of something that is firm, solid, or concrete. It's something that's there. You know what? This pulpit has substance. Amen. I have substance. You have substance. We're tangible. We're real. We're firm. We're solid. I mean, you've got something there you can get your hand on. You've got something there that you can get a hold of. This is something not imaginary. This is something real. If something has substance, it's real. It's not something that's a figment of your imagination. This is not some kind of fantasy. This is not some kind of dream. Faith in and of itself is substance. That's what the Bible says. Which is the idea, and it's the substance of things that are hoped for. Now, it's not the substance of water. It's not the substance of light. It's not the substance of energy. Faith is not the substance of that bench right there and what makes it what it is. No, sir. Faith is not the substance of this pulpit. The substance of this pulpit is wood.
The substance of that bench is wood. The substance of your body is flesh and blood and bones and things of that nature. The substance, you talk about what makes up various substances. But when we're talking about things hoped for, when we're talking about things that are coming, when we're talking about things that are not yet in our possession, but we can lay claim to them and they're ours as much as if we possess them right now. Although we're not yet able to play with them, touch them, use them, do what we want to with them, but still the same. It's a hope. It's a future thing, but it's just as real right now. It's as much ours today as it is in the day when we get there and can actually touch it. How is it? How is that possible? Because I've got substance. There's something here that lets me know, praise the Lord, that that thing is really mine. And the substance of that thing hoped for, that is the firm assurance, that solid certainty, that sure foundation or sure confidence, that solid certainty within me that lets me know that the aspirations of my soul, the longings of my soul, the things that I'm looking for, that they are real possessions. They're not imaginary. What is it that brings that certainty in my life? What is it that produces in me a sure, solid confidence that that inheritance that God said is mine is really mine? The new body that I'm going to get in the resurrection, what is it? What is it that makes that certainty present in my life and producing that solid substance? None other than faith, glory to God. It's not because I've seen it. It's not because I've touched it. It's not because somebody has come and gave me a piece of it. It's because I believe what thus saith the Word of God. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. And it's the evidence. What is evidence? Evidence is proof. It's conviction of things that are not seen. If you can't see something, what makes you know it's there? What's the evidence of the unseen? Faith. What proof is there that God is there? What proof is there? Well, faith is the evidence. And faith is not just based on nothing. Faith itself is evidence, but faith also needs evidence in order to be faith. Faith has to have something in which to put its hand onto. Faith has to have something. You can't believe in nothing. That would be absurd. That would deny, that would make you mentally insane to believe in nothing. Now I've got to have something. But what does my faith have? My faith has a promise from God. My faith has a reality that God has told me. My faith has a sense that God has come and brought His presence in my life. My faith has something that God has said and spoken, and I'd place my faith in that. And therefore, you may say, God is there. I say, God is not there. But I say, no, God is there. Oh, glory. You may say, well, the rapture is not going to happen. But I say, no, the rapture is going to take place. Jesus isn't coming. Oh, yes, Jesus is coming. Oh, how can you practice His presence? I'll tell you how. Because He's really there. It's a reality. It's something that's true. It's something that's actual. And by faith, I am able to see the invisible, because what the eye is to the body, faith is to the soul, and that you are able to reach out and know that God is there, because the Spirit of God has illuminated the mind and the spirit, and you know that God is real and that He exists. And when we talk about practicing the presence of God, we are talking about an act of faith. I know God is here. I know God is with me. And that very sense of me talking to the Lord, when nobody sees the Lord, it doesn't mean I've lost my mind. It means I'm exercising my faith in the invisible God that is present with me. So, the problem many times is that people, it's not that you lack an imagination, it's that you lack faith. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be many, many times in your life you will not feel God. You will not hear His voice. You will not even sense His presence. But faith says He is still there. Glory to God. That's the evidence. What's the evidence of those things not seen? The faith that I exercise and that is revealed in my works and the deeds that I do. So that when I practice His presence, when I speak to the unseen, when I commune with the God that is invisible, that is a work, that is a deed. But I am doing that as a result of a conviction that is in my heart, a belief that I have in my soul and know, and that therefore that I believe and therefore I speak, Paul said, and I speak because I believe, and I call out to the Lord God, and He responds to me, friend. I'm telling you, He responds to me. But there is first this business of faith and talking to God, and it is the idea, and it's a proof and a conviction that God is really present. Faith does not produce the presence of God. Faith does not create God. Faith recognizes what is already in existence. That is very important to understand. Faith is not creative. Faith is that which recognizes what is there. So therefore, you see God by the eye of faith. And I want you to understand that practicing the presence of God must arise out of the conviction that God is really there. If you don't have that conviction in your heart, if you don't have that thing settled in your life and in your soul, I know God is with me. I don't see Him. I don't see anything happening in your life. Looks like you're falling apart. Looks like you got more problems than you got good things happening in you. How do you know God's with you? Because I know God is with me. Because I got a promise from Him. Hallelujah. My sins are under the blood. The good Holy Ghost fills me up. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what the enemy say. God is with me. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what my circumstances say. I'm going to tell you that God is here. If you don't have that faith, you'll despair. You'll come to place because there'll be periods of time you won't feel Him. You won't hear from Him. And if you don't have the faith to practice His presence, you'll shut it down, my friend. You got to talk to Him when you don't feel like He's talking to you. You got to reach out and worship Him when you don't feel like there's a manifestation of His presence. When you're tired and weary, you push on anyway. Why? Because there's a conviction, there's a certainty in your heart that says God is here, and I must acknowledge Him. Yes. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8 through 9, the Bible says, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Bible said, whom having not seen you love. We don't see Him and yet we love Him. He said, and though now you see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. Folks wonder why in the world you get so happy. How is it you can have such joy? How is it that you can move forward in such hope? I'll tell you why. Because I see Jesus. Because I see Jesus. How can you have somebody in the midst of the storm that says, you know what? I don't know how you can go on. It seems like the clouds have descended around me. Somewhere you've got to look beyond the clouds. You've got to know beyond that. But I still see Jesus. I know that He's leading my way. The darkness may have obscured Him. The difficulty of my trial may look like He put a cloud between us. But I know one thing. He is yet my shepherd and yet my God. He will order the steps of a good man. My steps are ordered by the Lord God. And He is with me. And I will talk to Him. I will call out to Him. And there's this amazing thing that happens when you exercise that kind of faith. And you have that kind of conviction. Faith will never be left without a response. What do I mean? There has never been a man that when he exercised his faith in God, that God left him hanging. Show it to me anywhere. Show me anywhere in that Bible where a man fully put his trust in God and nothing ever happened in his life. No, sir. I'd show you plenty of people, and when they trusted God, they got healed, they got delivered, they got saved, they got sanctified, they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they got delivered out of the hands of the enemy, they got delivered out of the storms. They may have been in the deep, but they gave their faith to God, and God kept them. They may have been on a ship when the ship is going down, but Paul said, I believe, I am persuaded. He said, I am belong to God, and I'm the servant of God. He said, and the angel of the Lord has appeared to me and told me, Paul, I'm giving you every man on the ship. And Paul said, I believe God. Others couldn't see it. Nobody around him saw it. Luke was on that ship, but he didn't get that vision. Oh, there was Aristarchus that was with him, but he didn't get that vision. But Paul stood out there, and he saw something that nobody else could see. Oh, God has talked unto me, and I can tell you that I'm going to make it, and everybody on this boat's going to make it. That's the kind of faith we need, and that's the kind of God that you and I serve. And when you put your faith in God, God will respond to you. God will answer you. God will touch you. It may seem that it's a space of time that goes on. Your faith may have to go through a period of trial, but real faith will persevere until the answer comes and the response is made by God Almighty. The joy and the salvation we have is real because God is real. His presence is real. We hear Him. He answers us. He responds to our faith. How many of you know when you exercised your faith in God at conversion, He lifted your burden. He saved you. He delivered you. I'm telling you, something real happened. But it didn't happen until you first put forth that act of faith and said, God preached the gospel. He brought the gospel to you. And you said, I believe. And the moment you meant that, the moment that became a real conviction in your heart, that became a solid certainty within you, that I'm telling you right now, that thing right there became an evidence of what was not seen. You exercised that faith, and there was a response from God, and all of a sudden joy floods your soul, and God touches you, and the Spirit of God comes into you. And I'm telling you, it's the same here and now. You may say, I don't see very much revival. I'm going to tell you, I can smell it. It's coming. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Elijah didn't have to have a thunderclap and a lightning bolt. A cloud the size of a man's hand is enough to say, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And somewhere we've got to get a vision. And the brother said this morning, get your faith back in the gospel. It still works. It still saves. It still gets it done. Put your trust in the message God's given us to take to this world.
Yeah. Amen.
We've lost our confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Folks resorting to other methods and other things and think, well, this will work. I can do that. And I need this. And we've got to get them in somehow. And we go through our human inventions and ingenuity and try to work it out. Give me an entertainment. Let's sing it louder, John. If I had another instrument. Well, maybe if we did this program. You don't need any of that junk. All you got to know is that God shall preach the gospel. It's the power of God. I'm the salvation. It doesn't need my manipulation. It doesn't need my addition. God can use these things if I put them in His hands. But they must be just that. They must be instruments of nothing else. Because the real power is of God. The real power belongs to God. It's not in the power of a personality. Men can gather and build a congregation. But it takes God to build a church. And when we talk about this practice. So that's where we're going to get this down in us. You got to practice His presence. All right? But to do that, you've got to have in you a real conviction that God is in your life. If you don't have it, if you are always talking to God and God never talks to you, something's wrong. If you're always exercising faith, or at least what you think is exercising faith, but there is never any response, you're disconnected. Because God never leaves a man hanging when he trusts in God. God answers him. God responds to him. And so, get a conviction in your life. The Lord Jesus is right here in our presence today. That's not my imagination. That's not a mind game. That's not play acting. It's not make believe. He's really here.
Yes.
He's really here. How do you know it? Well, one, He told me He would be. In His Word, where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am. He didn't even say, there I will be. He said, I am. That's presence. I am in the midst of them. He said He would be with us always to the end of the age. What promise do I have that we're going to have signs and wonders? Because Jesus promised to be with the church in His manifest presence. Glory to God. Unto the end of this age. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ never meant for the church to fizzle out. He never meant for the church to arrive at a place where signs and wonders would become something just in the past. When He said, I will be with you unto the end of the age, He meant that My power, My manifest presence, My signs, My wonders are going to work among you until this age is over. The day of miracles was not just in the apostolic age. It's here. It's for us now. Brother, we need it now. We can have it now. And we've got to believe in it now. And we've got to get a conviction in us that says, Lord, You're here. I know You're here. You want to do miracles. I'm trusting You for miracles. I'm going to ask You for miracles. I'm going to learn to ask for bigger things. Not from me. I don't need a bigger boat. I don't need a bigger car. I don't need a bigger house. But I want a bigger heart for You. I want a bigger compassion for those around me. And I want to see Your glory manifested among this people. How do you do this? Practice His presence. I mentioned it in an earlier message, but I want to go back to hit it again. You got to practice His presence through constant communion with God. Consistent, constant communion with God. You must constantly. I know that you can't do it 24/7. That's not what I'm asking. When I say constant, I'm saying it must be something that is a repeated occurrence. Consistent, repeated occurrence in your life. You speak to Him. You praise Him. You ask Him. You thank Him. You share with Him. You meditate on Him. You listen to Him. You obey Him. That's communion. That's communion, all right? You listen for His voice. You wait for His instruction. By the words, but I don't have His instruction. I don't know what to do. Then stand still. Amen?
Right.
Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. The problem is that the mind wavers. The mind begins to fret. What happens if God doesn't come through? Well, what if this doesn't happen? Well, what if my faith is not strong enough? Well, what if this? Get your mind off the what ifs and get it on the power of God. Stay your mind on God. Keep your mind on God's glory. Keep your mind on God's power. Keep your mind on God's ability. Quit worrying about your inability. Quit worrying about whether God might fail. He doesn't fail, praise the Lord. If you're thinking about God might come through, if this might not happen. Now if you're worried about, well, it might not be the will of God. Well, that could be a dilemma. Then get in that book and determine if it's the will of God. Get on your knees and find out and stay there until you know what God wants. But once you know what God wants, it ought to become a firm conviction. It becomes substance. I'm telling you, you may not have it in your possession, but it's as good as done, because you've got faith in God and you trust Him for what He's doing. And that's what we've got to have, to practice His presence. Talk to Him. Listen for His voice. Wait for His instruction. Anything in you, in your life, in your attitude, in your spirit, in your house, in your possessions, in your relationships, that breaks, infringes, corrupts, distorts in any way your communion with God, it needs to be gotten rid of. Let me say it again. Listen to me carefully. You will know, if you walk with God and you talk with Him, you will know when something comes between you and Him. You get any close friend, let them walk in the room, and they won't have to even say anything, and you'll be able to sense it if the relationship isn't what it needs to be. It's like the brother said this morning. I've had that. I understand exactly what he said. I feel the same way. Ain't nothing more irritating to me than someone's been moping in the ditch 3 days, and you're sitting around beating your head against the wall. What in the world's going on? What they changed their mind about? What? Why are they treating? You know, why is this happening here? And you ask him, what's wrong? Ain't nothing wrong. What's wrong? Ain't nothing wrong. There has been an obvious change in your behavior. Something is wrong. And when there's an obvious change in your behavior, it will infringe on your relationship with God. And you will know it. I'm telling you, speak a little word that's out of character, and the Holy Ghost grips you with it. But you don't fix it. I'm telling you, you don't fix it. Your relationship with God has got something in it that is not going to make what it's going to. It's not going to make it what it needs to be. You got to get that fixed. You got to keep the channel clean. You got to keep the channel clear. You got to cannot grieve the Spirit. You cannot in any way offend God. If there's something that you're doing that makes you, puts you in a situation where you don't feel comfortable communing to God, if it takes you 30 minutes just to get yourself in a mindset to talk to God, you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. Hello? You've got an attitude you shouldn't have. You're involved in something you shouldn't be involved in. That's a problem with people. They come to the house of God, it takes the whole first hour of the service to get them in any place where they can even have any sense of receiving anything from God, because they're in such a condition, they don't talk to God regularly, they don't walk with God regularly, and their lives are so distorted, and the relationship with God is so dysfunctional, that they just absolutely come in, and they're going this way, and they're going that way, and they don't even know which end is up and down, because they don't talk to God, they don't commune with God, and something's broken in on the relationship and affected the communication. I know what I'm talking about. You've done stuff. You've been there. You get involved in something so carnal. You get all caught up in it. Your mind ain't been on God for 24 hours. You've been so caught up in something. You've been involved in this. And then go get down and try to pray. And it'll take you 30 minutes just to get your mind in any kind of condition where you can get back a hold of God and talk to God. You can't let that happen. You can't let that happen. If the activity is pulling you away from God, then pull away from the activity. If the thing you're doing is infringing, if it's breaking down the lines of communication, if it's causing static in the line, shut it down right then and there. Get back to God. You get too far from the cell tower and you get this broken communication, and that's what folks get. They get bits and pieces. I'm telling you, get back in line. Get back close to God so you can talk to Him. There's various terms the Bible uses to describe that experience. It's called praying without ceasing. It's called setting your affection on things above. It's called walking in the Spirit. It's called worshiping in spirit and in truth. The brother preached about it. Pastor Lapp preached about it. It's called abiding in the vine. That's what abiding in the vine is that I practice His presence. I live in Him. I dwell in Him. And I always keep that channel clean so the sap can flow from Him through me and bear fruit in my life. But we become stunted. Our growth is stunted because we fed garbage in. And we got all these, sometimes it doesn't have to be little external things. Sometimes, or internal things. I can tell you it won't be in that regard. It won't be anything external. If you are a saint of God, if you are a born again believer, whatever it is that takes you out must start from the outside. Hello? Do you understand that? When we're born again, the seed of God's in us. All right? There's no corruption in that seed. There's nothing wrong with the sap in the vine. There's no infection in the vine. The problem has to start. It has to reach to our heart and bring the corruption. But it's a bug that comes from the outside and eats. And then there can be something get in there. Or there's somebody comes along, sprays something on it and kills it. But it's from the outside. And I'm telling you, when God lives in your heart and you give your heart to Him, then what happens is then you've got God on the inside. But then the enemy now, he can never touch in the inside. He doesn't have the heart. He doesn't have the mind. Everything belongs to God. Now he's only left from external attack. That's all he can do. He has to appeal through my eyes. He has to put something in front of me. He has to put something in my ears. He has to shove something in front of my face. He has to put me some relationship there that pulls at me. He has to be some possession that pulls me away from God. But it's all external. I've got to keep the internal in line. I've got to keep Jesus there. And if I can keep it strong, I'm telling you, external things will not affect me.
Amen.
Well, if it is something there that's affecting me, I need to get rid of it. Get it out of my life. Shut it down. I'm going to tell you something. You might say, Brother Woods, but I don't understand why I have to do this. Well, God's there. God's there. Why do I need to practice His presence? Why do I need to focus on Him? Why do I need to think about Him? Why do I need to initiate conversation? Well, the sister that just testified about 11 years of marriage. Tell you what you do. You put it all on the partner. Make your partner initiate all the conversations. Hello? You know, you can live in a house with someone and live in their presence and not even know them. You know that's a fact. You can go to church with someone, see them in their visible presence and not even know them. Why? Because you don't talk to them. Because you don't commune with them. And that is many reasons why people don't know God. Because they just shoved it all off on God and they don't initiate any conversation. They don't ask any questions. They don't seek any wisdom. They don't look to God for any direction. It's just whatever God does in my life is going to happen. And they just accept every old thing as God's will. I'm telling you, I don't think we ought to accept every old thing that happens as God's will. We need to stop and say, hey, wait a minute. Is this where I need to go? Is this what God wants to do? Something's been dropped here in my lap. But it might have gotten dropped out of a buzzard's beak instead of from God Almighty. Amen. It might be a piece of fresh meat, but it might not have been from heaven. It might not have been sent. The ravens might not have been sent by Him. They might have come from some other place scavenging around. And somewhere I need to know, is this the voice of God or is it not the voice of God? But you won't know the voice of God without frequenting the Scriptures and continuously communing with God through the Holy Spirit. Right. Commune. Talk. Commune. Don't let time. Sometimes it will go by. You have to work on it again and again. I'll deal with that momentarily. Your mind has to be pulled back to Him. But I can tell you right now that if you want to influence and help someone else, if you want to labor with someone, you've got to commune. It's just that way. The world is full of distractions, but we got to keep our focus and bring it back time and time again. Fourth, again, I don't know what number this is. Number five, I think. I haven't given you them all today, but in this list of things. The third one that I've given you today. You must continue to have the intimate, special, specific time with God. You know what? There's people that say to me, well, I really don't have a time of prayer. I just talk to God on the way to work. That bothers me. Nothing wrong with talking to God on the way to work. As a matter of fact, I advise it. It's practicing His presence. But that doesn't take the place of the prayer closet. Well, I just talk to God all the time. Well, that's great. You need to do that. You need to be continuously aware that you're in the presence of God. But I'm going to tell you something. I can do that. I can talk to my wife and I can speak with her. But I'm going to tell you, my wife and I need just my wife and I alone time. Where it's just her and I in the intimacy, in the place where we can be intimate with one another. It's not your business. It's not your place. It's not where you should be. It's not where a cell phone needs to be. It's not where, it's just me and her. I'm telling you, yes, you can talk to God going down the road. But I want you to understand, you're going to get distracted. A car's going to get by. You got to watch your speedometer. You got to watch where you're going. You got to think about, hey, okay, where am I doing here? And which way am I going? There's going to be these things that you have to pull your mind back. And it's not going to be that time that can be uninterrupted. An uninterrupted, uninfringed upon time where I spend in the intimate presence of God Almighty. I still got to have a place where I get alone with God. And everything else is shut out. The door of the closet is shut. And it's just me and God. It's that will set the stage for me talking with Him all day long. It's that time at the beginning of that day that I have with God. It'll set the tone for my day. It'll set the tone for my communion. It'll make sure everything's right. So when I walk out the door, I can talk to Him going down the road. I can have fruitful conversation with Him over the lunch hour on the job when I get time to think about the Lord. I can do it, but it's because I've got a solid, intimate relationship that is built with Jesus Christ. There will be no continual practice of His presence if there are not specific times of focusing on His presence. where you're at. It's these times of prayer that we spend with God. And I'm going to tell you this. I want you to work on this. When you pray, don't see God as being over there. See God as being here with you. But you say the Lord says, our Father which art in heaven. That's true. I do pray to the Father. But the Father is also with me. Why does He say our Father which is in heaven? Because He lets us know, number one, that this petition is not to an earthly father. It's to the one who is the sovereign over the universe. And that I am not petitioning an earthly father. I'm petitioning the creator of us all. And it's our Father, not my Father, but our Father which art in heaven. It's a communal prayer. But the point of the being is this. It keeps me in mind that I am in communion with heaven. But I am on earth. I am to touch heaven from earth. And I cannot do that. I mean, if God was way over there, then I'd have to yell and scream and it still wouldn't be enough. I mean, you know, but no, I'm telling you, you've got to understand. And I have to do that. And I'm learning even more so when I get down on my knees and I pray. I don't so much just see God as over there, but He's right here with me. So I talk with Him. Just like I talk with you and I'd share with you, God is right here. I'm praying, I'm petitioning, I'm communion, and I'm not talking to a God that's way over there, because the problem is if you see God way over there, then you'll take some time off. You'll just see that there's this distance between you and God, and maybe He'll do it. And it's harder to see that you're going to get a reaction from God, because God's way over there and you're just talking and you're just putting your petition out and you're sending it by airmail and you hope that it gets there and maybe God will help you out. No, but if I can see Him right beside me, He can lay His hand on me any moment. I'm ready to hear His voice. I want a response from Him. I want to know Him. I want to hear it. God is here. Right. Ask the Lord to lift your specific times of prayer to a new level of intimacy that you have not had before. If you have a greater experience in your prayer closet, the practice of His presence will be a much easier thing in your life. But what you don't need to do is to disconnect. The practicing of His presence keeps the connection between yesterday's time of intimacy and today's time of intimacy. Now bear with me, I know I'm being plain. But try having intimate communion with someone once in a while and there's been no times of communion in between. So we go and we have this wonderful time of prayer. And then we go all day long and don't acknowledge His presence. And then we want a wonderful time of prayer the next morning. It won't work. It won't work. If you want that time of intimacy to be good, let it be rich. But all during the day, talk to Him. Commune with Him. Speak to Him. And tomorrow will be even richer. Hallelujah. It'll be even richer. Ask God to lift those times of prayer to a level of intimacy so you can grow. Your times of devotion to God must not be mechanical. They must not be ritual. They must not be repetitious. I'm telling you, stop yourself. If you find that you're repeating your prayer over and over, if you find yourself during your prayer that you're just using a phrase and it's over and over and over, stop yourself right then and there, because you are caught in a rut. And I'm telling you, think about it. How would it be like? What would your wife think of you if you talked to her and you just said the same old thing over and over? I'd say, somebody change this conversation. Make it real. Yeah. It is real. Get a hold of God and talk to Him. Hallelujah. Boy. Two more. I'll close. Fourthly, you've got to grow in the knowledge of God. Even though you acknowledge the presence of God that He's with you, the impact that has on your life, the power that it brings to your life, is still going to be according to your knowledge of the Lord. And you cry out to God and He'll show you new things. That's true. And I can tell you, I don't think the apostles, at least in the initial stage, I don't think the apostles on the boat would have been so alarmed had they known fully who was with them in the boat. Because after He calmed the seas and He shut down the wind and the waves, they said, "What man is this that even the wind and the seas obey Him?"
Amen.
They're astounded at that.
Yeah.
But they've got something. They've got knowledge that's come to them. Your love must abound in knowledge and in judgment. You've got to grow in the knowledge of God. If you want a greater intimacy with God, you got to learn more about God. It's just that way. I'm telling you, folks, sometimes, I tried to put that illustration before you, because the illustration of a relationship between a man and a woman is a relationship that Christ has with His church. And if you and I want the church wants a greater relationship with Christ, then we can go to that marriage and we can find there an illustration of it. We've got something literal in our presence that helps us to understand. You find why marriages fall apart. It's because the husband and wife quit talking to one another. They quit loving one another. They quit having intimate time together. They let too much time go between their times of close fellowship together. And there's no in-between times of sitting on the swing and just sharing with one another and listening to one another and just hearing what the other's got to say. If you want to keep a red hot love in your marriage, you got to do something about it. You got to be proactive. It isn't going to happen by accident. It isn't going to be something that's magical. You've got to make it. You've got to say, "I'm going to talk. I'm going to engage. I'm going to do something here." And if you want a hot red relationship with God Almighty, you've got to get up and say, "I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to reach Him in the morning. I'm going to speak to Him throughout the day. I'm going to seek to know Him." If you don't know that God can do something, how are you going to believe Him to do it? Continually grow in His knowledge. The presence of the Lord is richer when your knowledge of Him is greater. Amen? You know, some folks sit in a church service, and while some folks are basking in His love, the rest are picking blackberries. I mean, some folks are sitting there, "Oh my, that was, the presence of the Lord was rich." And someone else is like, "Huh? What are you talking about? Man, what really got me is when they played that fast song. That's really got me." That's because to you, God's external, not internal.
Come on.
And you got to be moved by your emotions. The only thing stirs you is something's got to push your button. But when you've got God richly inside of you and your knowledge of Him is great, I'm going to tell you, you'll hear from Him when other people don't. You'll see Him when other people don't see Him. You'll sense things when other folks don't sense it. You'll see something that's wrong when other folks don't see something that's wrong. You'll see something right when other folks don't see it it's right. You'll be able to discern things while they're plucking blackberries, if I can just put it that way. While they're sitting around on their backside just pulling up this and pulling up that, you'll be moving forward, sensing the voice and the direction of God, and God will be doing great things. Why? Because you're in tune with what God's doing.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Say amen. You're doing pretty good. You folks are really fighting and staying awake. And if you can hold on a few more minutes, you're going to survive. You know, I want to say this with growing in the knowledge of God. Practicing His presence. Do you know that the more you acknowledge God, the greater you're going to see yourself and the more you're going to abhor yourself. What did Job say? "I've heard of Him with the hearing and the ear. And now my eye has seen Him, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in sackcloth and ashes."
Jesus.
The greater the manifestation of God is in your life, the more you're going to see how nothing you are. And it's going to bring a greater humility and a greater love and thankfulness for the mercy of God in your life. How such a great and wonderful God can condescend to share Himself with you. You know why we struggle with practicing the presence of God? It's because we think too much about us. thoughts about ourselves fill our minds instead of thoughts about God. We think about our problems. We think about how folks treat us. We think about how we feel. We think about what we want. We think about what we should have had. We think about where we wish we were. We think about who we wish we were. We think about what we'd like to be doing. We think about where we'd like to be going. We think about what we'd like to be eating. We think about what we'd like to be having. All of our thoughts focus on us. So we know ourselves, or so we think, very well, because our main communion is with us. But when you get communion with God, you'll find out you won't think about yourself so much. And then all of a sudden, in the great revelation of God, you realize, I am such a nobody. I am such a piece of dirt. I am such a little bitty molecule in this universe. Oh, and it is stirring you a greater love. How that great, wonderful, beautiful, glorious God can share Himself with such a little nothing like me.
That's right.
And I close with this. Endeavor to win. Endeavor to conquer it. I've been doing this in my life for some time, years, but I've had times where I've had to come back and refocus. Even of late, I've wanted it to grow deeper. I've wanted it to get richer. And what you will find is this. When you begin to do this and develop the habit of practicing His presence, acknowledging Him being there, it puts a new perspective on everything you do. But you're going to find something. You can't think about Him 24/7. You're not capable of doing that. You're going to get involved in doing something that's legitimate. It's not sinful. It's good. You know, you're whatever. You're working on something. You're doing a job. You're washing dishes. You're mowing the grass. You're doing something. You're building a house. Whatever you're doing. Fixing a car. And you get in there and you're working on it. And then all of a sudden you'll realize, hey, I can talk to the Lord for a little bit. And you'll pull that mind. Lord, You're with me. I just want to stop here, Lord, and recognize You. And let You know, God, I've been so engrossed in this thing. I've been really caught up with it, but I want You to know I haven't forgot about You. Hallelujah. I love You so much, Lord. And I want to thank You for being with me. I'm telling you, your life will get rich. Your life will get rich. Our problem is we go 24 hours and don't even talk to Him. And some people, if they don't have a habitual prayer life, can go weeks.
It's true.
A whole week can go by and they haven't said 10 words to God. You can't survive like that. You can't live like that. But you will find yourself having to pull yourself back. But the more you pull yourself in to God and say, hey, I want to know You, Lord. I got distracted, Lord, but I want You to know I acknowledge You and You're here and I love You and I thank You. Then dig back into the work. Amen. Dig back into the work. Go back at it. And 20 minutes later, when you got just a second, and oh, Lord, I want to let You know that I know You're here and I want to thank You for Your nearness. I want to thank You for helping me on this job. I'm telling you, that will help you. That will keep you. And if you'll make a habit of it, you'll find out that anger will never be able to get a hold of you. You'll find out that the enemy cannot come and knock your house down like the old big bad wolf and blow your house down. You'll be ready for Him. You'll be watching. You'll be living in a state of constant intercession with the Lord and constant prayer and living in that state of watchfulness and prayerfulness. I mean, that's what David did. Go back to the Old Testament. 7 times a day he said, well, I meditate on Your righteous judgments. He said, I look forward to the night watches when I can meditate and think upon You. I'm telling you, that man took time. He said, morning and evening, I do this, I do that. He made a habit in his life of meditating on God, of putting set times. And what it did is it developed in him a consciousness of God. And that's why we've got a bunch of psalms that are still stirring us and still believing in us. That's why we can say the Lord is my shepherd, because some man got intimate with God and practiced His presence and lived his life in the presence of God Almighty. Saw God behind every bush and every tree. He was there in the field with Him. He wasn't just a God in Jerusalem at the temple. When I'm out there in the field, the Lord is my shepherd. When I'm out on the battlefield, He's my shield and my buckler. When the enemy is hounding me, He's with me in the cave. He's my strong tower. He's my high and mighty fortress. Glory to God. If you fail, if you mess up, if you err, if you unintentionally, you slipped, but you did. You missed it. You got upset. You spoke out of turn. And you grieved the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you what to do. Go back to God and say, God, I'm sorry. Please help me, Lord. Forgive me and to practice your presence. But tell him, Lord, I need you to talk to me too. If you leave me alone, I'll fail. I'm telling you right now, God, if you leave me alone, I'll fail. So Brother Lawrence did, and I told the Lord the other day, had a little situation, and just, I don't remember what it was now, but it just, I didn't feel like I responded like I needed to. And I said, God, you've got to remind me. I'm talking to you and I'm asking you. And I'm telling you that I want you to interrupt my life. And if I do go too long and I haven't acknowledged you, I want you to acknowledge me. I want you, if you got to, hit me right square between the eyes with a hammer and say, hey, big dummy, wake up, I'm here. You haven't said nothing for a while. You know what? That's somewhere. And don't leave me alone, God. Because if I get so involved that I'm getting distracted, I might go down the wrong road. I might get overwhelmed. Don't leave me alone, God. Talk to me. Please talk to me. Remind me of your presence. I'm not throwing it all off on God. But God don't throw it all off on us either, my friend. I'm telling you, God's got a responsibility in this relationship, and He will talk to you. He will help you. I asked Him the other day, I said, Lord, please, you've got to remind me of this. I want to start this practice in my life. I want to form this new habit, but I keep forgetting about it. I want you to remind me about it. You know what happened? He started reminding me about it. And I'm telling you, it'll help me to build the habit. And then when I forgot about it, the Holy Spirit burned to my mind, you forgot it. You need to go do it. Oh, He won't do that, by the words, then you don't know Him. He will do it, church. He will do it. He'll talk to you. He'll help you. He'll speak to you. Listen to the voice of God.
Amen.
And do what David said. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I've got to know you. I've got to know you.
Hallelujah.
Remind me, Holy Ghost. Remind me. Bring it to me. Speak to me.
Yes.
Church, that's what He wants. Because God wants our relationship with Him to be a two-way street. It was never meant to be all God or all man. It was meant to be God and man. We're not equals. No, He's the greater. He brings the greater influence to the relationship. I'm never going to influence God. Not in anything that I can change Him. But I'm going to tell you something. I can pray. And through prayer, God can change the series and the course of events. I won't influence God in that I will change His essential character. But I'm going to tell you right now, look for a man. God said, I just looked for a man. I looked for a man who'd stand in the gap and make up the hedge. I just looked for somebody who would be an intercessor. And if He'd have found an intercessor, Brother John, He could have brought mercy instead of judgment. That's the influence that you and I can have. God's looking for us to get involved in this thing. God's looking for us to pull up to the table and say, I want to be a part of it. And I, Lord, don't have anything to bring to this except I give you me. I know that I don't add anything essential to you, but I know this. You said that I could be a part of this. You would be a co-laborer with me. I would be a co-laborer with you. You're building the church. You're the architect. I'm just a servant, but I can be a servant. I can be an instrument. I can be a vessel. I can be your hands and your feet. We are on an adventure. And God wants you to live the adventure of life with you. But He doesn't want to do it your way because you'll fail. You already tried it your way and you messed it up. That's why you had to go back to Him. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
You tried life your way and you failed it. Now don't. Put your life in His hands.
Yes.
Let Him live His life in you.
Right.
And you'll find the greatest joy you ever found. Will you have problems? Oh yeah. Oh, you have challenges? Oh, yeah, but you got them now. You're never going to live without problems until you get to glory.
Right.
when we get a world that don't have a devil and we don't have selfish people and we don't have sin ruling, then we can have a problem-free world. But as long as we got a devil, as long as we got sin ruling, as long as we got selfishness reigning, and as long as the flesh is weak, we're going to have problems. Oh, glory. But that day won't always be. The Lord's coming. Stand to your feet. The Lord's coming. Glory to God. And I'm challenging you. I may remind you from time to time. I want you to take this home. I want you to do it. I want you to learn to talk to God on a continual basis. I want you to practice the presence of the Lord. And when we come to church, we won't have to wait for Him to show up, so to speak. We're going to come living in His presence, ready for His glory, already having communion with Him, full of the glory of God, and waiting on God to do His part and show His mighty power. Wonderful message this morning. Aren't we blessed? Church, what's my hope? My hope is that I know the message that still changes lives. Let her kill it, but the Spirit gives life. And I'm telling you that the Spirit is Lord. It can still transform us from glory into glory. And God is able to lift this church and take it to a new level. And He wants to take it to a new level. He wants to make you a stronger Christian. He wants to make you a brighter light. And He just wants us to focus in on Him and learn to enjoy His presence. Hallelujah. Oh, the devil will tell you can't live without your things. The devil will tell you can't live without this. Give up that. Oh, I couldn't live without that. I don't know how you're living with it. But I'm telling you right now, God, if you'll just turn to the Lord God and you say, God, help me. That's what I'm asking. I say, God, you know, because sometimes you think that. I don't think I could live without that. I don't think I could do without that. I'm telling you, ask God to make His presence so rich. He said in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Lord, I want You to make me so happy. I want You to show me Your presence so strong that it just makes me absolutely just go out of my mind, and I'm so full of joy. And I get so happy that some folks think I'm insane. Amen.
Yeah.
People in the world wonder, how can you be happy with such simplicity? Because God is great. And He is the Creator. Would you praise Him? Father God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your help. Thank You for Your leadership. Thank You for Your kindness. Thank You for the truths. I'm asking You right now, God, here this afternoon, that You'll impress this upon Your people. God, that the men and women of this church, the young men, young women, anybody that can understand it, that they will begin to practice Your presence, that they will acknowledge You. And Lord, when that time has went by, maybe even 3, 4, 5 hours, and they haven't thought about You, remind them that they'll bring it back. And Lord, begin to talk to You again until the habit is so formed in their life. And God, they just naturally walk in Your presence and acknowledge You. And You become, Lord, as You are, that Your presence is a sense that it's so always near and in their life that they never will have fear. They never will have anxiety because they never live outside Your reach or Your presence or Your voice. And they never let anything infringe upon the communion and the relationship they have with You. Please, God, help us to keep the lines of communication open. I don't want an attitude. I don't want a thought. I don't want an activity. I don't want anything that I do to break my fellowship with You. Nothing. I want it to get richer. I don't want, Lord, discord. I want peace between You and I. Hallelujah. I want communion and intimacy between You and I. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. How many could tell me this afternoon, Brother Woods, I've been working on it. You be honest with me. I've been working on practicing His presence. All right, you got a little more fuel for your fire, all right? Practice His presence. Practice His presence over and over again, and God will change your life. Amen. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. Tuesday night, 7:30, prayer time. You said 7:30, right? Tuesday through Friday, right here, prayer time. Looking forward to God give us some rich times, some intimate times with Him as a body. Amen. Glory to God.